Dankie Anton. Ek het nou maar net by Anton seker gemaak of ek Afrikaans of Engels moet doen en sê ons gaan maar so beide doen. Het is een groot voorreg om vanoggend hier te kan wees en ons het nou die voorreg gehad om een paar aande daar by Jeremy die plaas te kon spandeer en was really amazing. I think Bickettburg in a very short space of time has really crept into my heart and now Nikki's heart as well and our hearts as a family. This is such an amazing space, such an amazing place where there's such freedom and such peace here that I just, as we were worshiping, felt the Lord is saying that he's still going to do so much through this congregation that you shouldn't limit what God is wanting to do based on your location and based on your size. Okay, that the anointing and the calling of God is not limited and it's not based upon your geographical location, neither is it based upon your size. That there's much that God is going to do through this congregation, through this community. He is going to heal and he's going to restore and he's going to release many people into their destinies, and that the nations will be impacted from this congregation. Okay, the nations, and God is going to send people, even people in political and business circles are going to come and find redefinition in this place. And amongst you, because they're going to come, they're going to live in your homes, and they're going to find healing and redefinition from amongst you. And that this is amazing this Sunday morning, but I really sense the Lord is saying that is what is happening in your homes is going to shatter the yokes and destroy the bondages. And this is simply the beginning what the Lord is doing here. Nee, wat hier gebeur is net die begin, en hy gaan uitvloei en gaan vloei deur julle huise. En dat die Here het julle geseën met 'n gees van gasvryheid. Okay, maar dit gaan oor meer as net jou tradisionele plattelandse gasvryheid. Nou dit is mos nou so. Platteland is oor die algemeen baie gasvryer as ons daar in die stede, ons sukkel baie keer net om by jou eie bure uit te kom. En ek en die manne van Sommers die Wes, ons het gesels oor die feit dat as iemand hier jou nooi, dan nooi hulle jou regtig. Dit is net maar 'n ding wat jy doen nie, weet. Nooi iemand daar in die stad vir 'n braai, maar eintlik bedoel jy dit nie, want weet, daar's te veel dinge wat aangaan. Hier sou as iemand sê kom, dan bedoel hulle regtig kom. Kom bly by ons, kom kuier by ons. But I really feel the Lord just wanting to say to you, think beyond just that this is just traditional plattelandse gasvryheid. Okay, there's an anointing the Lord has given you to be a place of healing for people. For people to come and receive healing in your midst. So Father, we just want to really honor you, God, for what you're doing in this congregation. Father, we want to thank you for the amazing presence of your Spirit here already with us this morning. And God, that we could just sense you in the worship, we could sense your presence here, and that this morning we don't have to ask you to be with us, Lord. You are with us. And we want to thank you for the privilege that we have to be with you and to be with one another. Here, dat ons die voorreg het, Here, om as gewone, doodeenvoudige mense te kan kom en in u teenwoordigheid te kan wees, Here, sonder om verteer te word, sonder, Here, om uitgejaag te word, maar dat ons verwelkom word deur die koning van alle konings, en dat u, Here, as die heerser en die skepper van die heelal, Here, dat u ons vanoggend so welkom laat voel in u teenwoordigheid deur die Heilige Gees, en Heilige Gees, ons wil net vir u sê, Here, dat ons u so waardeer, Gees van God, ons maak absoluut staat op u om te kom doen wat slegs u kan doen vanoggend in Jesus naam. Amen. As julle saam met my sal blaai asseblief of net op die skerm sal volg. Ek wil 'n paar verse met julle deel vanoggend wat ek met ons leiers gedeel het Woensdag en ook wat ek besig is om deur te werk met 'n paar van ons gemeentes en ek voel regtig waar dat terloops Nikkie stuur groete. My vrou, sy was laas hier gewees. Sy gisteroggend moes sy bedien in George daar by hulle Awaken konferensie, so sy stuur haar groete en haar liefde. Ek sal weer op 'n ander dag die girls saambring en ek kan hulle weer oorval met hulle persoonlikheid en wie hulle is. Ek het gisteraand sê ek iets is anders. Ek het baie minder gepraat gister as vorige dag, want dit is net anders as my girls by my is. Hulle is gedurig deur besig om te praat, gedurig deur besig om my aandag te wil hê. En so dat ek terug skyk besig om iets aan my te probeer verduidelik. En my kop is te weer op 10,000 ander plekke. En in my mind I was completely sidetracked and distracted. Philip, hallo my broer. Lekker om jou te sien. Hallo julle. Lekker om julle te sien. And I was completely distracted again and thinking of a thousand other things and my mind was in other places. And then Kate Rose, my 6-year-old, she comes up to me and she takes her hands and she puts them over my cheeks and she's like, "Daddy, look at me. Look at me." And she realized if I don't look at her, if I lose eye contact with her, then my mind is all over the place. You know, especially as a man, I think it's sometimes a much bigger challenge for us. And so I've tried to explain to Nikki as well, if you want to say something profound to me, something that I need to remember, you know, those first few words are normally very crucial. If you lose out in the first few words, you're just backpedaling, guys. Eh? If you that intro is so important. And so I've told her, please, if you want to say something important to me, something that I need to remember, something you're going to check me up on again, please just make sure that I'm not watching sport, or I'm not in front of my computer working. Just touch me, all right? If you touch me, I know, okay, that's important. Okay, then I can switch off now. Connection is so important when it comes to communication. We need to be able to stop what we're busy with, look at the person, and then normally we're able to listen a little bit better. For us as guys, I know women, you can do 1,000 things at the same time. Listen to us, remember what we tell you. But for us as guys, we need to physically stop what we're busy with. Nee? Kom uit, dit is ook 'n baie belangrike van die van ons wat by die huis werk, jy maar die kantoor se deur toe trek. As 'n teken van ek is nou klaar met die werk. Nee? Baie keer wat ek doen as ek huis toe ry, is kom by die huis, sit in die motor, as ek net vir die Here, Here dankie, dat ek nou die werk agter my kan laat. Ek is nou by die huis. So ek gaan nou fokus, ek is nou hier, en ek gaan nou al my aandag moet gee, want daar is 'n klompie 1000 woorde wat die vrouens in my lewe met my wil praat, en ek moet onthou, want ek gaan gecheck word op dit. But the reality is this, whether it's on an individual level, en dit is ongelooflik, jy weet, ons doen baie huweliksberading, is ongelooflik die kardinale groot rol wat kommunikasie speel. In die meeste van die probleme, in die meeste van die uitdagings, maak nie saak hoe kompleks daardie uitdagings is nie, is dit normaalweg omdat iets gaan fout met die kommunikasie. Ons hoor nie mekaar nie. Ons luister definitief nie na mekaar nie. En in die meeste gevalle verstaan ons mekaar ook nie. Want ons luister deur 'n spesifieke lens na mekaar. En dan normaalweg wat gebeur is terwyl die ander persoon praat, is ek al reeds besig om te dink aan wat gaan ek antwoord. Okay, and we need to get to the place where we can truly listen to one another and we can truly understand what each other is saying. En ek het nou so rukkie terug met die ouens van Duitsland gesels. When was it? Was it this past Monday or the week before? The week before. Chatted to the guys in Germany while Anton was there. And it was just amazing. And I want to thank you guys for releasing Anton to go, that he was able to just focus on what the Lord had laid on his heart. Thank you so much. I know many of you guys will be going with him when he goes again. And it is amazing just to see how the Lord has bonded our hearts with this group in Germany that is going through a lot of the same stuff that we are going through, relationally and prophetically even. And I was just sharing with them. They asked me, is there something they could pray for me for? And I shared with them, like, at the beginning of the year, I hurt my foot. So my foot at that stage was in a moon boot. I cracked a little bone in the thing. And so they immediately said they're going to pray for me. So they lay hands on my foot via Skype. I put up the moon boot, and they prayed for me. And, yo, those Germans, when they start praying, it's like machine guns. Just goes. They were praying, and praise God, a couple of days later, my foot was out of the moon boot, and I'm on the fast track to recovery. But what was amazing about my journey with this moon boot, it was on my foot, okay, was the fact that the Lord actually started to get it into my thick skull, that when you are injured, when you've done something to yourself, you actually need to rest. Jy moet eintlik stadiger gaan, en jy moet iets anders doen. Jy kan nie net voortgaan en hardloop soos wat jy in die verlede gehardloop het nie. Jy moet stadiger gaan, jy moet rus inkry. And so it took me a long time. I hurt my foot in December, and eventually went to the physio about a month and a half ago. And so she told me, if you had come to me earlier, you could have been through this process already. So they actually, during convergence, they wanted to put me in the moon boot already and wanted me to be on the crutches. So I just said, there's no way I'm going to go into convergence with the moon boot and crutches. And so I had to go through the process a little bit later. But you know, the amazing thing was, God all of a sudden started to speak to me about people with physical disabilities in a way that I never before really understood. You know, it was only a foot. There was nothing major wrong with me. But it changed my life in so many ways. I had to reconsider simple things like, where do I park when I get to the mall? Which entrance do I use? I had to reconsider, you know, just my trip to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee or whatever. Is it worth my while? I'm going to go with the crutches. Okay, so, you know, is it regtig nou die moeite werd? Ek regtig nou daai koppie koffie nodig. Om daai, hoe gaan ek die koppie koffie met die crutches en al terugkry by die kamer? Something very simple and very straightforward, but it began to change just the way that I was thinking about how we as a church physically and even spiritually very often, we are not geared for people who are hurt and who are broken. En die Here kom praat met my en sê vir my, Heinrich, jy gaan moet stadiger gaan sodat jy begrip kan ontwikkel vir ander mense. En nou is ek besig om mense wat fisies gestremdhede het of wat pyn het, ek is besig om deur ander oë na hulle te kyk op 'n manier wat ek nie van tevore sou gedoen het nie. Want as jy nie met daai pyn sit nie, dan kan jy nie regtig verstaan maar hoekom kan almal nie hardloop nie? Ek weet die fietsryers kan nie verstaan hoekom 'n ou wil hardloop nie, maar jy weet, as baie mense wat jy kan verstaan, hoekom kan jy net bykom nie? Hoekom kan jy net jou issues los nie? Jy weet, hoekom kan jy net vergeet van die verlede nie? Hoekom kan jy net bykom nie? Maar ons vergeet dat mense is wat hulle is as gevolg van die pyn in hulle lewens. In die meeste gevalle luister ons na mekaar deur die lens en die filter van ons pyn. Ek bedoel, ons kan ons maar net na ons land nou kyk, né? Ons hoor nie mekaar nie, want ons pyn filter alles wat ons hoor. En ons pyn skree so hard in die gesprek in, dat ons kan nie mekaar se harte hoor nie, ons hoor net van hoe seer ons is. En ek glo die Here wil vir ons as die liggaam van Christus kry om stadiger te gaan, sodat ons kan begin luister. En as ons begin luister, kan ons begin verstaan wat om ons aangaan. En daarom wil ek vanoggend met ons lees uit die boek van Habakuk. 'N paar verse wat regtig tot my hart gespreek het. En die Heilige Gees daar reeds begin om een of twee van hierdie aspekte aan te raak vanoggend, maar Habakuk 2 vers 2, it's a very well-known portion of scripture, and normally when you have people who cast vision and who do leadership training, they would often speak about the power and the importance of vision, and they would use this verse. And so verse 2 says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, who reads this vision. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, in other words, though it might take a long time to come into fulfillment, wait for the vision, wait for the fulfillment, because it will come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Okay, so verse 2 starts off then. It says that the Lord answered me. Me, in that context, was Habakkuk. So Habakkuk het hierdie gesprek met God, wat vir my baie bemoedigend is. Want Habakkuk was nie skaam, of hy was nie bang om sy frustraties na God toe te neem. Het is baie interessant in die boek van Habakkuk, as jy kyk hoe die boek begin basis met hierdie klaaglied, amper 'n aanklag teen God. Dit begin met Habakkuk se frustrasie. Habakkuk is gefrustreerd met sy land en sy mense en alles wat besig is om hom aan te gaan. Ons gaan nou na 'n paar van daardie verse kyk. En hy sê vir God, "Maar God, hoe? Ek kan hierdie nie verstaan nie. Hierdie is nie hoe ek U ken nie. Ek ken U as 'n liefdevolle God, 'n kragtige God, 'n almagtige God. But I'm looking at things that are happening around me and I'm thinking that You don't care. It looks like there's this violence all around me. There's injustice all around me." He says, "What's going on here?" And then God has this conversation with him. The Lord answers him. Then that answer still isn't good enough for Habakkuk. He again says, "God, but how long will this continue?" And then eventually gets to the place of humility in his heart. He gets to the place where he quiets his soul. And he says, "I will do this. I will get onto the rampart. I will get onto the wall. And then I will look to see what I will answer when the Lord rebukes me." So, hy kom na God toe en hy sê vir homself, "Okay, ek dink ek het nou genoeg gepraat hierso. Ek dink ek het nou genoeg gekla by God. Ek dink ek het nou genoeg vir God gesê wat ek dink moet gebeur. So ek gaan nou hierdie doen. Ek gaan op die muur gaan klim wat die the watchman had to do. What's the watchman in Afrikaans? 'N nagwaak, né? 'N nagwaak. Die ou wat moes wag staan op die muur. And he had to do two things physically. He had to look at where's the enemy coming from, but he also had to look at where's the deliverance coming from. Okay, that was his two responsibilities. So the intercessor's responsibility is twofold. And sometimes we focus either on the one at the expense of the other one. But the intercessor had to do two things. He had to look at where's the danger coming from, but he also had to look at where's the deliverance coming from. And he had to announce both to the people. He had to say, "Watch out, the enemy is coming, but also take courage, take heart, the deliverance is coming." Okay, and that's our role as intercessors. That's our role as the people of God. We have to be the prophetic voice that's saying to our nation and saying to our family and saying to our colleagues at work, "Dinge kan nie so aangaan nie. Oppas, as jy aangaan om te doen wat jy doen, gaan 'n moeilikheid kom. Gaan die motor by die kraans afstort. It's our responsibility. But we also have to say the situation isn't hopeless. There is deliverance. There is a way out. God is concerned about us. God does love us. We need to have both before us. So that means as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be ons moet nie soos die volstreis wees wat ons kop in die grond indruk en sê daar's nie probleme nie, né? Kom ons kom maar net Sondag, kom ons sing ons liedjies en die Heilige Gees is hier en alles is awesome. En daai Lego liedjie, everything is awesome, you know, when you're part of a team. Kom ons sing net daai liedjie en alles gaan wonderlik wees. No. We know that we live within a specific context, want sover ek weet, slaap niemand van julle actually hierso nie. Dink die meeste van julle gaan terug huis toe. En sover ek ook weet, as jy by die huis kom, staan dan iemand met 'n gitaar by die deur, liedjie speel en vir jou sê, "Yes man, welkom terug by die huis. Amazing dat jy is. Voel jy die Heilige Gees se salwing as jy by die werk instap?" Ek dink nie dis regtig wat gebeur nie. Dinge voel 'n bietjie anders 'n paar uur later gewoonlik as jy by die huis kom. Dinge voel definitief anders môreoggend as jy by die werk instap. And our challenge is to take what we experience here, to take the hope and the joy, take it with us. But our mandate is also to take the pain that we experience around us and to bring that here, and to bring that into the presence of God. And so iets gebeur met Habakuk. Die Here kom na Habakuk toe, na Habakuk met nederigheid kom na God. En ek weet dit is wat die Here besig is om te doen met ons as 'n land. Die droogte, die geweld, die korrupsie om ons, die ekonomiese verval om ons, die sosio-ekonomiese, die morele verval, is alles besig om ons self as die kerk van Jesus te forceer om dinge stadiger te vat. Om nie net te jaag na my volgende ding toe nie. Jy weet mos hoe raak ons. Nee, ek is nou uitgesorteer en die Here dinge gedoen in my lewe en nou het ek wat ek wil hê en nou gaan ek maar net aan. En die kerk van Jesus het verlang so aangegaan. Ten minste is ons okay. Ten minste kan ons hier in ons holy huddle maak asof die wêreld nie besig is om te vergaan nie. And now the Lord is saying, now, the drought physically and spiritually affects all of us. And now all of a sudden our hearts are becoming more and more desperate. I don't know about you, but I'm sensing a desperation in the body of Christ, crying out to God like Habakkuk had to do. God, how long? And you guys here in the farming community more than anybody else, I think you know that better. How long can we hold out for? God, how long will this thing last? There's a desperation. Hoe lang kan ons voortgaan met die politieke systeem en die ekonomiese systeem wat aangaan soos wat dit aangaan? God, how long will it take before you intervene? And I think it's a frustrating place, but it's a good place. Because here is the amazing thing, mense, omtrent hierdie visie wat Habakuk sien. And such a famous verse, and I think most of you guys have read that verse already. You know, write the vision. It says, make the vision plain. The amazing thing for me, just traveling through our different congregations, the congregations are diverse. Met sommige aanbid in Afrikaans, sommige in Engels, sommige in ander tale. Groot is verskil. Maar ons het hierdie paar dinge wat ons aan mekaar bind. Een liefde en een passie vir God. En dan maak die saak waar ons is nie, een hart en een passie vir die nasies. Why? Because that was the vision into which Shofar was born originally. To make disciples of nations and generations. It's part of who we are. Ons glo nie daaraan dat God ons geroep het net om 'n gemeente te wees vir die jong mense of net vir die ou mense nie. Ons glo nie daaraan dat God ons geroep het net om 'n monokulturele gemeenskap te wees nie. Oral in al ons gemeentes is hier verskillende generasies en verskillende nasies. En maak nie saak hoe klein die gemeente is of hoe arm die gemeente is nie, is daar mense wat uitgaan in die plaaslike gemeenskap in en buite ons grense. Why? Because that was the vision that was always held before us. We exist to reach the nations and the generations. En hierdie gemeente was geplant uit daardie visie uit. As dit was vir daardie visie nie, sou hierdie gemeente nie geplant gewees het nie. Sou ons nie vandag hier bymekaar gekom het nie. So dis 'n voorbeeld van die krag van visie. Visie wat ons in staat stel om te sê, okay, as ek nou vandag na my omstandighede kyk, dan lyk dinge miskien asof dit nie gaan uitwerk nie. Maar daar's iets groter binne in my. Daar's 'n visie wat binne my leef. En so my vraag aan ons is, het ons 'n visie? Do you have a vision that's burning in your heart? Do you have a vision that says to you, all right, I might be in a certain place now on the 5th of November, 2017, but there's something burning inside of me. God has given me a vision that enables me to say, next year, I won't be at the same place. Next year, things will be different. But it's not just a pipe dream. It's not just psyching myself up. There's a vision. There's something that lives inside of me that comes from God. And that vision defines me. But Habakkuk couldn't get to the place of the vision unless he had gone through the place of his frustration. And I believe that many times in the church, we don't get a God-given vision because we are not willing to engage with the real frustrations. We're afraid to go into the pain. We're afraid to go into those situations where there's chaos and there's anger, even and there's bitterness or there's brokenness. And I believe the pathway into a godly vision goes through our pain. It goes through the things that frustrate us. So I'm saying to everybody that the key to your vision, a lasting godly vision, mostly lies in the area of your deepest frustration. In that thing that completely just frustrates you and irritates you, and wat jou net teen die mure uitdryf. Die probleem wat ons het baie keer is dat ons vat ons frustrasies na mense toe. So ons kla om die kampvuur of ons kla by die huis of ons waar ons ook al is en ons kla en ons vat ons frustrasie na mense toe en ons en daardie frustrasie bly maar net 'n frustrasie. En dit bou op en dit bou op en dit bou op en éventueel skop jy die kat of jy verlaat die land of jy slaan iemand oor die kop. Want mense kan nie jou frustrasie omdraai in 'n visie nie. Mense kan nie. Mense kan nie vir jou die antwoord gee nie. En ek kom net al hoe meer agter dat vir solank as wat ons frustrasies net na mekaar toe neem. Ek sê baie keer vir mense aan die begin toe ek pastoor geword het, het ek gedink dat my werk is om vir almal die antwoord te gee tot hulle probleme. Ek het gedink eventueel ek besef maar dit is 'n teenproduktiewe manier van dinge doen. Because then I never teach people to go to the Lord themselves. So in meeste gevalle wat ek nou doen in berading is ek vra net 'n klomp vrae. En die belangrikste vraag is, so wat sê die Here vir jou? And then it's amazing how that simple question simplifies things because then you discover very often in the first place this person hasn't actually been to God. To go and find out from God, what is God saying? What is God saying to you? Have you taken this to God? Have you wrestled with God? And then, what did you do with what God told you? En ek het 'n suspisie dat ons in die kerk van die Here Jesus Christus nie 'n probleem het daarmee dat ons probleem is nie dat God nie met ons praat nie. Ons probleem is dat ons handel nie volgens wat hy vir ons gesê het nie. We don't act on what he has told us. And I believe that God is wanting to get us to that place again of quick and prompt obedience. But the process is one I want to focus on this morning. So he says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. Skryf jou visie neer. En sê, maak het duidelik. En dis nie 'n oornag proses, en dit vat tyd. En baie van ons, ek en nooit, ek onthou aan die begin, toe ek met my vrou begin uitgaan het, ek het nie 'n 5-jaar plan gehad, wat ek vir haar kon voorlê, in terme van, dis waar ons gaan wees, op daardie stadium was ek in die onderwijs gewees, and so, she married a teacher, but, you know, now we in ministry, and things have changed slightly. But I never had a 5-year plan, exactly to the day. But I did tell her that my vision is, that God has called me to make a difference in His kingdom. I know that. God has called me to live my life, so that Christ can be reflected through me. I want people's memories of me, to be such that they can trust God more, and experience His love more because of the fact that they had an encounter with me, because they met me. My vision is that Christ will be glorified through my life. My most important vision is I want to become more like Christ. That's the vision that dominates my entire life. Everything else outside of that is a bonus. And I found that very often we get lost in the, God, so where do you want me to be next year? Here, wat wil jy hê moet ek doen? En ons verloor uitsig uit die groter visie is eintlik, ek moet soos Jesus word. And if that is my commitment, then God uses all the other things to lead me there. So die vraag wat ek myself afvra is, hoe gaan Jesus in my lewe lyk? How will Jesus manifest himself through me at home? Hoe gaan Heinrich moet lyk sodat Jesus deur hom kan manifesteer? As my girls eendag terugdink aan my, sal hulle herinneringe van my dit makliker vir hulle maak om Jesus te vertrou. Sal hulle herinneringe van my dit makliker maak om te weet dat God is 'n liefdevolle pappa. And here's the thing, people, is that more than us just having visions on our banners, as important as it is and as beautiful as it is, and having visions on our mission statements and up against our walls, we are the vision.
We are the vision. The world looks at us and we are the vision of what the world can be like. That's why church is so important. Because church community is a prophetic vision. Church community is a community that can show the world this is what life can be. I just told Anton yesterday, we had such a lovely kayer around the campfire. We bribed and was lekker. And then I told him, you know, how often I would just love to take the media and the politicians and I want to put them in the middle of a church community. I want to put them around the campfire where there are farmers who love this nation and who are saying that we are not giving up on this nation, whose hearts are soft and gentle. I want the politicians to see what can happen in a community where God has bonded hearts together. We are the only community that can present a vision to our nation of what life can be like if the cross is in the middle. The vision of the Rainbow Nation is being shattered, guys. I don't know if you're aware of that. The vision that we can do this, the vision that one big charismatic leader can do this when Madiba passed away, it's a crisis because who will now do this? What happened to what we saw many, many years ago? The church can be that vision. But it's not even just in the songs we sing. It's not about what's against our wall on the outside. It is about how we live with one another. We can live in such a way the world can see this is what South Africa can be like. And that's why God has called us not to meet just in little homes of net for myself om gelukkig te wees ek en Jesus. Elke en sê hoekie, hoe gaan hy lekker nou weer? Jy weet dit ek en jy het tenminste ek vir Jesus by my en no, God has called us to live together in community. Why? Because he's wanting to make the vision plain. He's wanting to make the vision plain to the world that there's a God who heals and restores and shapes people and molds them together beyond all of their differences. And that's my desire for us, that we will prophetically not just have a vision on our hearts, but live that vision so the world can see it. Because the world is desperate and longing for that vision. The last part of that verse ends off in the Lord speaks to Habakkuk and says to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, look at the proud. It says his soul is not upright in him. The proud is puffed up. Hy is opgeblazen. Hy dink meer van homself as wat hy moet. He relies on his own strength. A simple definition of pride is, I will do things the Frank Sinatra way. Right? I will do things my way. At the end of my life, I want to look back and I want to say, I did it my way. Beautiful song, but a bad song. I did things my way. And isn't that something that is it's ingrained in us? It's what tripped up Adam and Eve. They wanted to do things my way. God said, no, eat from the tree of life. You can eat of all the trees, plus the tree of life, just not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, we will do things my way. And look where we ended up. Now God says, forgive. We say, no. I will do things my way. I will hold the grudge. God says, be the first to repent. They say, no, I will do things my way. He must do it first. And we hold on to stuff. And God says, do it my way. I love what one of the speakers at Convergence said. He says, mankind has not been created to do vengeance. Because we do it badly. We do it badly. We destroy ourselves in the process. Having bitterness in our hearts is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. We haven't been made for it. God says, leave the vengeance to me. Leave the vengeance to me. I'm ministering in some of the West now in a beautiful town. And I've got the privilege of following my dad's footsteps a little bit. Was where one of his first congregations, they were busy there 1970, 71. And I might have told the story before when I was here, but you know, my dad experienced so much trauma, so much rejection in that community because it was there where you started baptizing the young people in the ocean. And back then, you had different oceans that you could go to. And so there were a lot of opposition, a lot of stuff. And so you made the front page of the report. Dominee laat himself doop. And there was front page Sunday morning report. So there was a lot of opposition against him. And so eventually when they moved from Somers the West to Walvis Bay, some of the elders stood up in a meeting where he announced that the Lord has led them to go somewhere else, stood up and said, Vader ons dankie, dat u die struikelblok uit ons midde verwyder. That was the blessing with which they sent him from the congregation. Okay? And my dad stood like the dominees used to do. They stand at the door as you exit and then shake people's hands, tot ziens broer, tot ziens sister, and so on. And they just refused to shake his hands. And that's the way that they were sent. That was their sending by some of the elders from the congregation. But you know what? When my dad spoke to us about that church in Summers of the West, we just heard about all the amazing things. We heard about how incredible it was, the stuff that they learned, how supportive the people were, how blessed they were with intercessors who prayed for them, how there were people who always looked after us when we were small so they could go around and visit different congregations. I only discovered this story when I was towards the end of high school and somebody phoned when we were living in Uppington. Phoned and says, "Can I speak with Dominic Titus?" And so I handed the phone to my dad and there was a long conversation. Afterwards, I asked my dad, "So, what is this about?" Then he told me the story of what happened then and how this elder now phoned my dad and said, "Years later, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Can you come and can you be part of a celebration service where we just celebrate all the previous Dominies who were there?" But the amazing thing is this. My dad instilled in my heart a love for the church and even a love for that congregation. Why? Because he didn't allow the pain that he experienced, that he went through, to filter through to the next generation. And this is the thing. If we leave undealt pain to fester in our hearts, it simmers and it gets passed on to the generations after us. And he, through the wisdom of God, through the grace of God, said, "No, I will forgive, I will release." And because he did that, God could actually turn the thing around many, many years later. And I believe that is what God is calling us to do. But you can only do that if you trust God. God will sort out those people. Vengeance isn't mine. God, I will bless them. So my father taught me from a young age. He said, get into the opposite spirit. Get into the opposite spirit. So that means you don't just tolerate somebody else's negative behavior towards you. He says, you get into the opposite spirit, what Jesus taught us. Jesus didn't just say when somebody curses you, don't curse them back. That's not what Jesus said. What did he say? Bless them. Not just don't do to them what they're doing to you. He said, no. Get into the opposite spirit. Turn the thing around. And that means that there's an aggression almost that's needed in the spirit. There's a strength that's needed in the spirit to get into the opposite spirit. And I believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be this. We can have a different spirit here than what exists in the world. We can have a spirit of hope here instead of hopelessness. We can have a spirit of joy here instead of disillusionment. We can have a spirit of love here instead of conditional, just trying to get by kind of relationships on the outside, tolerating each other. We can have something different here. Okay, but we can't do that if you want to do things our way. Anton shared just a word about two people in a situation of change, maybe a time of transition. And my spirit just resonated with that, and I felt the Lord is saying this to you, that you're not going to experience the change for as long as you're trying to do it in your own way. There are certain things that you're used to and that you're comfortable with, and God is saying, let go of your way. Trust me. It's an invitation to trust Him. And if you would trust Him, God will take you where He wants you to go. The latter part of that verse says, the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. If ever there was a time needed where the people of God live by faith, it is now. Amen. It is now. That's why you guys are such an inspiration. You're in environments where you've got to look through the eyes of faith. I had a conversation with some of the guys farming last night or yesterday, where it just says, if only the guys can see what I'm seeing, some of them said. Because I know it's going to rain. I know it's just a question of time. I know God's promises are true. Remember the vision God gave our nation that we will be the breadbasket for Africa? That promise still stands. That God will use this nation as a miracle to the world. That promise still stands. But we are challenged by it now. And many people are now walking away. Even people that went to Bloemfontein for the prayer meeting with Uncle Angus. Many are walking away now and say, so what good did that do us? Are we people of faith or aren't we? The just shall live by faith. Right? And I'm going to show you just a picture there that really spoke to my heart. Anton was in Germany now a while ago, and we owe Germany so much. You know, there's a lot of stuff they sent into the world that wasn't that pleasant with the Second World War. We know all of that. But of course, they gave us Mercedes-Benz and all sorts of other stuff as well. So German engineering. So we've got to be thankful, I suppose. But you know, the greatest gift and the greatest blessing to us was the Reformation. The fact that we can worship the way that we are worshiping now, the seeds for that were sown in the Reformation. Where we say we don't have to go through 1,000 steps to get to God. We can read the Bible for ourselves. You don't have to believe what I'm telling you. You can go to your Bible on your phone or at home, and you can read for yourself whether it's truly true. In Martin Luther's day, that wasn't the case. People read the Bible in Latin, and the rest of the people just had to believe that it's there. And only a few people could read it, and the Bibles were chained to the desks in the monasteries. The Reformation changed all of that. The Bible was translated and was given into the hands of your normal, average people. And suddenly the revelation dawned, each one can have a connection with God. And it changed the world. And the seed for that revelation was dropped into Martin Luther's heart when he was climbing up those steps. Those steps are 28 marble steps. And the church tradition there, church legend, don't think it's true, said that those 28 steps were brought back from one of the crusades from Jerusalem. And they are the steps on which Jesus walked when he had to stand in judgment before Pontius Pilate. All right, so they called the Sancta Scala, scaling the steps of sanctification. And so it was believed that if you're struggling with sin that you cannot get rid of, if you're struggling with sense of guilt and a burden that weighs you down, then go to Rome, climb up those steps, recite your sins, and when you get to the top, you will receive forgiveness. And so Martin Luther, just burdened and weighed down by his sin, his conscience, that didn't matter how many times he flayed himself, how many times he fasted, how much he just meditated. He couldn't get rid of the sense that he's been cut off from God, and his sin is just this ocean between him and God. He climbed up those steps, hands and feet, reciting the Our Father all the time. And he says that as he was climbing those steps, slowly but surely, you can go to the next slide there, it's the empty staircase. It was just him climbing up there, weeping as he's going up those steps. He says, slowly but surely, something dropped into his spirit. This is one phrase from Scripture. This is one phrase. The just shall live by his faith. A verse from Habakkuk started to just burn in his heart. And his soul had a connection with the word. And I don't know how many of you know this, but one word from God can change your life completely. One word from God changed Martin Luther's life, changed Germany's life, changed the world. And that word is still changing our lives because of that revelation. And he says when he got to the top, he says that verse became for me the gates into paradise. The just shall live by faith. Not by the rules of the church, not by the regulations of the church. And when he got up there, his entire life changed. I am connected to God based upon my faith in what Jesus did for me. You know, none of us, you guys have got some steps here on the outside. They're not that big. But you know, none of us at home have steps like this you get up to before you get to God. Not physically, but you know what? Very often we've got steps like that emotionally or spiritually. We think if I can just get rid of this thing, if I can just get this thing sorted out, if I can just have victory over this thing, or if somebody would just give me this, or if this would just make sense to me, then I will finally be in the place where I'm peace with God. And the Lord has been challenging me and saying, God, Heinrich, what are you basing your justification on? You know, and so for us as pastors, it's very often what happens on a Sunday. It just means, what do I use to make myself feel accepted by God? That's the essence. Wat gebruik jy om jouself te laat voel dat jy word onvoorwaardelik aanvaar deur God? Dis die essentie van regverdigmaking by God. What do you use? What's the thing that you're climbing up on? You know, is it being in the band? Is it packing the chairs? Is it wanting to have that successful business or having the marriage that works, whatever it is. I think most of us, we don't have bad stuff there. It's all good stuff. But the good stuffs aren't good enough, people. The good stuff aren't good enough anymore to have us anchored in the fact that God calls us as his people to come to him in trust. That's all that it means. It means I trust the work that Jesus has done for me. I trust Christ. I trust that his work on the cross is enough for me. It's enough for me, it's enough for my family, it's enough for my future. And so God has just been, with my foot that was injured, I was like, God, I can't get up there. I need to meet with you down here. And I'm just sensing the Lord is saying to some of you, just Jesus wanted to meet with you where you are at. where you are at. If you can invite him into that pain, into that frustration, and that's the thing for us in South Africa. God is wanting to meet us right now in the drought. He's wanting to meet us right now in the racial tension. He's wanting to meet us right now in all of that stuff. He's wanting to meet us. And he wants the church to take God's presence into that pain. Because often the church, we stand up there. And we say, just leave your stuff first and then you come. Get to church first and then you can come. And God says, no, no, no. Christ has come down all the way. And he's challenging us. And as leadership, we're praying through this and saying, Jesus, where have we become so religious that we're making it difficult for people to get to you? Because this needs to happen, but we also need to take what God gives us here to the people. And some of you guys, the Lord's going to use you in powerful ways to do that. Proverbs 29:18. And I'm going to try and finish the next 15 minutes. It says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law of love. All right, that Jesus defined for us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the fullness of the law. It says, where there's no prophetic vision. So not just vision, not just somebody's plans, not just your boss's plan for the company, not just what your mom spoke over you, not just your desire, not just the politician's visions, not even just the pastor's vision, but where there's no prophetic vision. In other words, where there's no vision that comes from God, the people cast off restraint, people become lawless. And I think that's one of the challenges that we are sitting with, that there isn't a vision being held before us anymore. This is who God has called us to be. And people, that's what we have to hold on to. It's not what the newspapers say. It's not what the politicians say. It's not what the weather forecasters say. It's what is God saying. What is God saying? Unless we have prophetic vision in our lives, we will cast off restraint. It means that we will become lawless. We will walk away from the law of love. We will start doing things that hurt ourselves and hurt other people. So do you have a prophetic vision? Do you have something that's been given to you by God, been birthed into you by God? And it can be as simple as somebody just speaking a word of life over you. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the mall with my crutches getting in, coming out. And then as I got to the car, this car guard just came up to me. Abel came up to me and says, don't worry, you won't be in these crutches for too long because you still have a lot to do, he says to me. I says, amen, brother. I received that. I was feeling very sorry for myself at that stage. Very pathetic, I know. It's just the foot. Oh, man, just like this. Oh, you know, I've prayed for my foot so many times. Why isn't this healing? Don't worry. You won't be in that thing for too long because you still have a lot. You know what that did? That was a word of life. It stirred vision in me. And I wanted to say this, that some of us in this room, you underestimate the power that God has given you to release vision over others. To release vision over the guy putting in petrol in your car, packing the groceries at work, at the store, or anybody that you meet. You, God has given us the breath of God, the spirit of God inside of us, and you can release vision over someone. Even when you don't feel the angels singing and there's no goosebumps on you, but release life. Speak life. One of the times when the Lord came and crystallized things in my life, when I was battling through, should I become a pastor or not, do things I said I'll never do, never become a teacher, I'll never become a pastor. Right? So, 8 years teaching and then now, 12 years pastoring, all right? So, the nevers, hey, moet nooit, I nooit gebruik. Gebruik het maar minderig, nee. Ik zal nooit Pretoria en Johannesburg toe gaan, nie. 4 jaar Pretoria, 3 jaar in Johannesburg. Jy, all right? So, nou sê ek maar, Jesus stuur my enige plek. Okay? Wat wil ek sê? Waar was ek? Ek myself nie weer heeltemal. Beketberg, nee, ja. Maar waar was ek in die preek, Anton? prophetic. Vision, oh ja. So, nou is ek in Amerika en as 'n ander visie wat ek het vir my lewe. En my visie was, ek sal nooit afhanklik wees van ander mense se gawes nie. Okay? Ek gaan nooit afhanklik wees daarvoor van hoeveel mense gee op 'n Sondag of nie. Dit was my childhood vow gewees, wat ek gemaak het in my hart. Ek gaan nie. I'm going to work hard, I'm going to be successful, I'm going to make my money, and I'm going to do all the stuff that I want to do. In spite of that vow that I made, I can still see how God shaped me and how God moved me, because deep down in my heart, I wanted to be obedient to Him. But I'd made this vow because when we grew up, things were tough in many of the congregations. And so I said, no, I want a different thing. So what happened? I started to develop a vision for myself. And my vision was, I'm going to be financially independent. I'm not going to rely on anybody else. I'm not going to be at the mercy of anybody else. And my kids certainly won't go through the
some of the stuff that I had to go through.
And in my hardness of heart, the devil started to lie to me. And he started to replace God's vision with this vision that I had. And that vision eventually took me to America, and I was teaching there for a while and making some money. But you know what happened? While I was pursuing that vision, God came and God started to frustrate me. So the things that worked for me back in South Africa, where I was HOD of in a school, head of department, in a short space of time, none of those things worked in the States. Now, none of the things that I was good at worked. It was hectic every day, 90-minute classes, you know, with juvenile, delinquent American teenagers. It was challenging. Yet I was making the money, and yet there was something in my heart that was empty. And in that frustration, God had to break me down. I realized this vision is taking me further away from God's vision. Because my good vision even was, I'm going to make a lot of money, get all my connections, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to start a Christian school. Now, that isn't a bad vision. That is not like I'm saying, you know, I want nothing to do with God. It was a good vision. But it simply wasn't God's ultimate vision for me. It wasn't His original purpose for me. And then during that time, I was just like, oh God, what am I doing? What's happening? I'm crying out to God for vision and for direction. Then the Lord took me back to my journals. Now I want to encourage you guys, like Habakkuk says, write the vision. Right? It's important to write things down. Here met jou praat, skryf jy goed neer. Nee, want soms vergeet ons, maar papier het mos 'n manier om nie te vergeet nie. So skryf jy goed neer of neem dit op, sodat jy kan teruggaan daarna toe. And then as I was going through my journals, I came across one entry that I made while I was doing a camp with some of the high school kids. And this one girl, grade 8, she came up to me and she said at the end, just when we left the camp, she says, "Sir, thank you so much. You should have become a pastor." She said, and I just, oh, that's nice, you know, and then went on. And 3 years later, as I'm wrestling through, what is God saying? I'm looking, the whole bunch of different stuff, up pops this word. As I'm reading through my journal, like a puzzle piece, it starts glowing. There was a vision that started to crystallize for me again, that somebody had spoken over my life. And this is the thing, that some of you will never discover your vision unless you slow down in your frustration. Some of you are being frustrated, but things not working out. I want to venture a guess that maybe it's not the devil frustrating you. It might just be God frustrating you because he's wanting to bring redefinition. You've got to go back. You've got to go back the first time God spoke to you and retrace your steps. Put those words together. Say, God, what are you saying to me? Acts 26, verse 19, Paul is speaking, and he stands in front of King Agrippa. He was Herod the Great's grandson. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision," he says. That heavenly vision was Jesus appearing to him, knocking him off his horse and saying, "Paul, I'm going to call you. I'm going to use you to take the gospel to the ends of the earth." Right? And that vision propelled Paul to preach the gospel, not just in Jerusalem, not just in the synagogues, but to the Gentiles, where he was shipwrecked and almost thrown to the lions and just incredible things that happened to him. And he says to King Agrippa, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Now, one day, if somebody can write that on my tombstone, I'll be pretty happy. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He says, my entire life was shaped by the vision that I got from God. And I was not disobedient to that. I don't want to be obedient to people's vision of my life. You know, some of us, you've got a cast of visions. I sense as well that some of you, there are visions over you. It was a prophecy that someone spoke over you born out of anger. Again, one of the visions that I had to break over my life was the curse that I will never become anything good. I'm cycled one day, again, please, if you have the story already, just look as if it's an amazing story, okay? I'm cycling in Beaufort West. I just got my BMX. I know how many of you guys stood in faith for a BMX. I had to stand in faith for my BMX. When I got it was amazing. Cycling, now I'm excited. I'm cycling across the road. I don't see the car coming. They're the N1, driving past the army barracks as you enter into Beaufort West. I thought there was a lot of space between mine and the car. The guy always thought there wasn't that much space, and he got a fright. Stopped the car, reversed, and then just pronounced, just out of his anger, just said, "Dis hoekom julle so is nooit enigiets gaan word." You know? What was that? That was a vision. There was a vision, because his vision for me was one of failure. His vision of me was that I was just going to be trapped in a circle and cycle of poverty for the rest of my life, and I was not going to become anything. That was a vision. You know, and I just cycled on because what was I, 11 years old. And then many years later, we still called F3. The Lord took me back to that moment. And I became very successful at school, very successful at varsity. But you know what happened? My success was driven by my need to disprove that man. And so even though I became successful, there was a drivenness inside of me. I wasn't at peace. Because I had to prove that man wrong. I had to prove him wrong. Whenever there was a moment where I had to, when I became quiet and still, from time to time, I would see his face. I would hear his words. I would feel the spit on my face. There was a vision. Was it a heavenly vision? No. It was an evil vision. Born out of someone's anger. And so many of us, even in this room, we've got visions that have been cast over us that were born and birthed out of other people's pain, other people's anger, other people's bitterness. And you have to confront that vision. You've got to say, no, you are not my vision. God's vision is that he knows the plans, the purposes that he has for me. God's vision is that I'm his son, that I'm the head and I'm not the tail. God's vision is that I'm a history maker, that I'm going to rebuild the ancient ruins, the word that the Lord gave me. I'm going to be everything that he's called me to be. But you know what? The worldly vision comes a lot easier. Paul says, or the writer of the book of Hebrews, he says, lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily besets you. It's easy to read something in the newspaper, and before you know it, that thing has gripped your heart, that fear. It's difficult to shake it off. But God says, and I believe this morning God wants to invite you. That's why the word came over and over to us. God is faithful. He doesn't change. Lay your burdens down. Right? Lay your burdens. Lay down the visions that your bank balance is saying to you. Lay down the vision that your wife or your husband or your ex-wife or your ex-husband spoke over you in a moment of anger. Lay it down. Don't allow it to shape you. All right? Don't allow it to shape you. Just quickly, what is a vision? This is a secular definition. It's not a spiritual one. It says it is a description of our preferred future, not a prediction of what will be. So a vision is not a prediction. Right now, if we sit down and we listen to what's going on in the media, a lot of people are making predictions, okay, about what will happen. Instead of a forecast of what you think might be likely in the future, your personal vision is a description of the future you dream about. Right? So he says there that your vision is not just simply based upon your past experiences. And some of us in this room, we've got to look at our past. We've got to say, past, I will not be a victim of you. Some of us have to go back even in past experience of our generations and say that the bankruptcy or that suicide or that poverty that plagued my father or grandfather, great-grandfather, that past is not going to be my vision. I will not be defined by that. And as a church, we're saying we will not be defined by the hatred around us that's happening in the world. We, as a church, will not be defined by the stuff that happens around us. We've got another vision where nations and generations are worshiping God together in harmony. Okay? Some of you need to come and you need to say to God, God, this was my prediction. And some of us have even spoken stuff over ourselves, over the spiritual atmosphere, over the church, over your family, over your business, over your farm. You've spoken things over yourself. And you have to repent. You've got to come this morning. You know what repentance is? Repentance is not like Martin Luther thought it was before he got the revelation. I need to punish myself. I need to crawl up these steps. And if I feel bad enough, then maybe I will eventually feel good enough. Repentance is I turn around. And some of us this morning have to come. You say, I turn around from that vision. It's from the devil. A vision that says I will forever be stuck in this place where I'm at. God's got a life for me. I'm going to play us a song, because it's a song that we all know very well. Again, it's the end of Habakkuk. And I want you guys, our time is up, but I want you guys to just go and read through the book of Habakkuk. And you will see at the beginning his frustration with God. You know what blesses me about this book is it starts off with a complaint and ends off with a song. It starts off with a complaint. And this is the beauty. God is not intimidated by our frustrations. He's not intimidated by the realities we face. He's not. Sometimes we are, therefore, we don't want to have difficult conversations very often. Sometimes it's bang om vir iemand te vra, wat is fout? Hoekom is hy kwaad vir my? Oeh, daar is een moeilike enekie, ne? Vooral by die huis. Oeh, vroulief, raak so stil. Wat is fout? Oh, weet ou sommer Anton somtijds, ne? Eindelijk is jy die ou wat nou, jy is te blameer. Oh, wat is fout? Maar as jy nie die vraag vra nie, gaan daar nie reconciliation kom nie. And sometimes in church even, we have to ask one another, you know, what's wrong? How do you feel? Gelowiges, daar's 'n paar vrae, nê, wat die wêreld nou moet vra vir mekaar. Maar ons as die kerk moet nie vrae vra nie. As mense mekaar heeltemal mis daar buite, want ons binne in die kerk is nie eens bereid om vir mekaar sekere vrae te vra nie. Oor kultuurgrense heen. En dit is belangrik dat ons gaan moet daai vrae begin vra vir mekaar. Hoe ervaar jy wat nou aangaan? Because let's face it, all of us can go through the same thing, but our experiences might be greatly different. En tensy ons in die dapperheid en die durf van die dag gaan lê om in liefde uit te reik na mekaar, vir mekaar te vra, hoe ervaar jy wat nou gebeur? En gaan luister na mekaar nie. I believe the longer the church waits to have these conversations, the more the world is going to spiral out of control. Because the world doesn't have the answer. We have the answer. And God wants to grace us with a love that is courageous to get into each other's worlds. By mekaar te gaan kuier, mekaar tyd te spandeer, maar in mekaar se skoene ook te kom. Die Here moes my voet in 'n moonboot sit sodat ek in iemand anders se wêreld kon inkom. Wat ek nooit sou verstaan het nie. Unless I actually got into their space. And I want to encourage you to get into one another's space. Get into each other's emotional space. Experience. Ask the questions. How are you experiencing this? Why are you angry? This is what I see. What do you see? Okay, and Habakkuk did that with God, and God took him. God wasn't intimidated. God didn't say, Habakkuk, how dare you speak to me like this? Don't you know it's Sunday? No, he engaged with Habakkuk. And then he came and he gave Habakkuk a vision. And then he gave him a song. And it's this beautiful song. I'm going to read it for us in English and in Afrikaans. End of Habakkuk. Let me just find it. Before you like speel, let me just read this quickly. So Habakkuk 3 verse 17 to 19 says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and no fruit be on the vines. This is the same frustrated Habakkuk that says to God, God, how long will this continue? Ek het genoeg gehad van dit. Dis basies maar wat hy vir die Here sê. And this is where it ends up. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. Just a note to the worship guys. Biblical scholars tell us that it would appear that Habakkuk was a singing prophet. He was actually a Levite that was a prophet as well. And I sense as we were singing here, the Lord started to stir something this morning in the spirit. Where he wants to release songs through this congregation. Prophetic songs of life and of healing. Some of you guys need to say yes to the Lord for that anointing because you're going to start to sing songs in this congregation. Songs of life in the spirit. I sense there was a stirring. We saw a crack, but God is wanting to open it up more. Okay, we're going to sing songs that are going to change the atmosphere. And you feel so intimidated because you feel so angry and so frustrated. And God says, bring that frustration to me because out of that frustration, a song will be born. All right, a song will be born. Though the fig tree should not blossom and no fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. I love that word. I say, yes, Jesus, that's mine. He makes me tread on my high places. But I've word gevat. I says, all of a sudden, instead of being heavy and being despondent, he makes my feet like deer's feet. I will run again. Okay? The Amplified says, yet I will choose. Here it is. We have a choice, people, at this time. Gaan ons kies om die Here te aanbid? Gaan ons kies om ons frustrasie na die Here toe te vat? Want baie van ons dink, hoe gaan ek by die plek van aanbidding uitkom as ek so kwaad is? En die Here sê, bring jou woede na hom toe. Wees eerlik met die Here. God is nie 'n godsdienstige God nie. 'N God wat dooie godsdienst ingestel is, wat vir ons sê, as jy jou mooiste aantrek, jou mooiste maniertjies voorsit, dan is ek gelukkig met jou nie. Sê, come with the raw intensity of your emotions. Bring that to me. Out of that, I will stir something great in you. I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. Het is lekker gewees om vanoggend te hoor hoe jy sing en uitroep tot die Here. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invisible army. I love this. He is my invisible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like the hind's feet. And he makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. What is a workplace? What is a high place? It's a place of challenge and responsibility. So dink, waar lê jou plek van verantwoordelikheid en uitdaging vanoggend? Waar voel jy burdened by responsibility? When you feel burdened, you say, God, I hear what you're saying, but God, how will I put food on the table? God, I hear what you're saying, but how will I provide for the people who work for me? God, I hear what you're saying, but how will I get victory over this anger? Challenge and responsibility. Bring it to God. Al sou die vyeboom nie bot nie en daar geen druiwe aan die wingerde wees nie. Al sou die olyfoes misluk en die lande geen oes lewer nie. Al sou daar geen kleinvee in die kampe meer wees nie en die beeskrale sonder beeste wees. Nogtans sal ek in die Here jubel. Sal ek juig in God, my redder. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok op hoë plekke. Laat hy my veilig loop. I'm going to stand this morning, and I want you to this morning just allow this, just as the song is playing, to just stir in your heart an understanding the trustworthiness of God. And bring in your heart now before the Lord that challenge, that responsibility. Van julle het vrae en frustrasies wat jy net aan die Here toe moet bring vanoggend. In 'n atmosfeer van geloof wat die Here vir jou wil sê, hy gaan vir jou sorg. He will care for you. En net daar waar jy is, jy miskien net met die Here praat en vir Here sê, Here, maar ek is so bang. Ek is so gefrustreerd, ek is so kwaad, ek is so teleurgesteld, Here. Ek het gedink ek sal verby hierdie gewees. I thought I would have victory a long time ago already. God, I'm so confused. Here, ek het nie meer hoop nie. God knows what's in your heart in any case. He wants you just to bring it to him in trust. Not to have the answer. My vrou praat baie keer met my en sê, Heinrich praat vroeër, maar jy wil eers met my praat na jy alles uitgefigure het. Jy antwoord het. Talk to me even when you're unsure. But just talk to me. Make me part even of your struggle. Don't feel like you have to have everything figured out before you engage with me. I know I'm the only guy struggling with that. But it's the same with God. Make him part of your wrestle like Habakkuk did. Because who knows the song that he's wanting to release over you. So jy lê vir ons 'n liedjie speel asseblief, en dan terwyl die woorde speel en liedjie speel, selfs met die Here, bring jou frustrasie voor God. Thanks. En van ons ken dit ook, so jy is welkom om saam te sing ook as jy wil.
En daar geen drywe aan die wingerde wees. Al sou die olyfoes misluk en die lande geen oes lewer nie. Al sou daar geen kleinvee in die kampe meer wees nie. Die beeskrale sonder beeste wees. Nogtans sal ek in die Here jubel. Sal ek juig in God my redder. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Plekke laat hy my veilig loop. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Op hoë plekke laat hy my veilig loop. Al sou die vrye boom nie bot nie en daar geen druiwe aan die wingerde wees. Al sou die olyfoes misluk en die lande geen oes lewer nie. Al sou daar geen kleinvee in die kampe meer wees nie en die beeskrale sonder beeste wees. Nogtans sal ek in die Here jubel. Sal ek juig in God my redder. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Laat hy my veilig loop. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Op hoë plekke laat hy my veilig loop. En al sou dit donker word hier rondom my, die hand verwyder is van my, sal ek op u vertrou. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Op hoë plekke laat hy my veilig loop. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Op hoë plekke laat hy my veilig loop. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Op hoë plekke laat hy my veilig loop. Die Here my God gee vir my krag. Hy maak my voete soos die van 'n ribbok. Op hoë plekke laat hy my veilig loop. Op hoë plekke laat hy my veilig loop.
Halleluja. Here, ons dankie dat ons vanoggend kan kom, Vader, en ons net kan kom verklaar, Here, dat ons hoop is in U, Here. Here, ons hoop is nie in ons omstandighede nie. Here, ons dankie vir hoe U met ons praat deur die omstandighede heen. Here, ek dankie vir die antwoorde, Vader, wat so baie van ons gaan vind binne in daardie omstandighede, Here, waar ons met U stem gaan ontmoet. Vader, ek bid vir Here die hartsingesteldheid wat Habakuk gehad het, Here, om homself binne in sy frustrasie en binne in Here sy Here selfs woede amper, Here God, en die dinge wat hom so intens frustreer het, Here, om homself nog steeds by 'n plek van nederigheid te hou. Here, waar hy kon homself kon positioneer sodat U met hom kon praat. En Vader, ek dank U dat soos ons vanoggend Here na U toe kom en soos wat ons nagmaal gaan gebruik, Here, dat ons dit kan doen en kan kom verklaar, God, we trust You. Lord, that we put our trust in Your finished work, Lord God. We put our trust in You to have Your way with us, Lord, as a church family, Lord God, as individual families, Lord, as individuals, Lord, and with our nation, we're putting our trust in You, Lord, that Your blood, Jesus, has the final say over our nation, has the final say over our futures and our destinies, Father. Lord, we thank You that we can come and we can exchange heavy burdens this morning, Lord God, burdens of responsibility and challenge, Lord, visions that are not from You, visions that are weighing us down, visions of unbelief, visions of shame, visions of rejection, Lord, that wants to just limit us, God, wants us to think small, wants us to disqualify ourselves, wants to keep us trapped in the past. We thank You, Lord, for a mighty yoke-destroying anointing this morning, God, that as we come to the finished work of Jesus, that things will just fall off of us, God, as we step out, Lord, and as we receive by faith, Lord, the sacrifice of Christ, the healing, the provision, the joy, the deliverance. So You come, Father, to do what only You can do, God. We look away from man, and we look to You in Jesus' name. Ek wil hê ons band, as julle vir ons na vore kan kom, asseblief. We're going to take communion, and I want you guys just to come to the front. We have the communion elements here at the front, and I... sort of my heart behind the sermon, I called it the burden swap shop. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to have us just to exchange some burdens this morning. And as we come, it's such a seemingly insignificant thing that all we have here is got some lovely bread and glasses with some grape juice in there. It looks so insignificant. And yet it represents the fullness of our faith, the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. Even that one day there will come a day when every tear will be wiped away. Everything will make sense. But right now we can receive His life. We can receive His freedom. We can receive His healing. Some of you have got burdens in your heart. And as you come forward, just lay that down. Say, even say, Jesus, I'm stepping away from this burden. I'm receiving Your vision for my life. I'm receiving the vision of what You have done for me and what You still want to do. Just come to the front. Some get some bread. Get some wine. And as you do that, just say, Jesus, here I am. Speak to me. I'm walking away from everything else that's holding me back. And I'm embracing Your heavenly vision for my life. So kom net lekker na vore. Kry vir jou iets. En dan gaan ons saam bid.
Yo.
speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. A better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. It's only by your blood. What can wash away my sin? Whole again. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow?
Hallelujah. Father, we honor you, Jesus. We honor you, God. We thank you that this morning, Lord, we can declare that there's nothing that can wash away our sin, God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing that can welcome us home but your blood. So we thank you, Lord, that your blood has beckoned us, God, has invited us, has welcomed us home. And Lord, we choose to embrace the fullness of the vision of your blood over our lives. Father, we thank you that as we partake of the communion, Lord, and as we pray for one another, that you will come into something very special in our hearts here. Thank you for healing, Father, that will flow, God, into hearts here this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for scales to fall off our eyes. Thank you for an exchange, Lord. We will exchange human burdens for a heavenly burden, God, for a heavenly vision that's not heavy, that doesn't weigh us down, Lord, but that gives direction to our lives, that gives us hope. En ek voel net, ek het dit gister ook gevoel, en die Heilige Gees bevestig het weer vir my vanoggend, dat daar is een visie wat in die put van die jaal is, wat oor die boerdery gemeenskap losgelaat word. En I sense that you guys hear that you've got to make a choice by faith to say we will not allow those visions that people speak over us to define us, to shape your confidence and your sense of calling from God. That your calling, your roeping, wat God jou geroep het om te doen, is nie afhankelijk van wat die politici en wat die media en mense sê van jou. But it is something that you cannot be passive about. You cannot be passive about it. You have to say, God, I reject, I refuse every vision wat wil my wil dikteer wie ek is en wat my hart is. Jy moet dit afgooi. Hebreë sê cast off. Gooi dit weg. Gooi dit, ek wil niks met hierdie te doen hê. It's not me, it's not who I am. Some of you a sense that just guilt that want to come over you even because of the sins of the forefathers. And you have to say, I will not be defined by them. I will not be defined by the sins of my forefathers. Shaking it off. It's not who I am, it's not my identity. Ek wil vir julle net bid. Just as our eyes are closed and we're standing in the presence of God, sitting in the presence of God with blood, his body. Just as you, representatives of the farming community, if you would just raise your hands, I want to pray for you. As jy boer, jy's 'n wit Afrikaner, jy boer, dan wil ek vir jou vra net op jou hand lig. Ek bid vir jou. Ek vir my Vader, Here, ek dank U. Vader God, vir ek voel dat U sê, Here, dat daar is visies, drome, Here, wat U in die grond kom plant het, baie geslagte terug, Here, wat nog onvervuld is. Toe U besluit het, Here, om te doen wat U gedoen het, die verskillende mense van ons land by mekaar te bring, Here. En Vader, daar is 'n visie en 'n rol en 'n doel. Vader, vir die wit Afrikaans sprekende boer in ons land. En Vader, daardie visie hou ons nou voor U, Here. God, we contend for that vision, Father. We thank You, Lord, that it is a vision that includes productivity. It's a vision, Lord, that includes community. It's a vision that includes humility. It's a vision, Lord, that includes miracles. Stewardship of resources, but stewardship of finances. But more than that, stewardship of people. Here, ek dankie vir die visie wat in U hart geleef het, Here, dat deur die boerdery gemeenskap daar genesing tot ons land gaan kom, Here. Daar genesing gaan kom, Here, tot verskillende volke, tale en kulture, Here, op ons plase. Vader, ons bring dit nou voor U, Here, en ons kom verwerp en ek breek af, Here, in die naam van Jesus, elke visie wat gebore is uit die put van die hel, Here, oor ons boerdery gemeenskap, ons geesvervulde boere, Here, wat lief is vir U, wat lief is vir hierdie land en lief is vir sy mense. Here, ons kom breek elke projeksie, elke vloek, Here, breek ons af oor hulle vanoggend in die naam van Jesus. God, and we thank You that You release through them, Lord, a heavenly vision, that You release through them, Lord, a compelling vision that says we will not be defined by our circumstances in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You, Lord, for supernatural partnership in the Spirit, Lord God, between our farmers the rest of our community in church, Lord, in Jesus' name. En dankie, Here, dat die bloed van Jesus hulle skoon gewas het, Here, selfs van foute en sondes van die verlede. Here, wat bloed gegiet was, Here, wat dinge gedoen was in die verlede, in onkunde, Here, of in bitterheid, Here, of in haat. Here, ek dankie dat die bloed van Jesus, dat U bloed spreek 'n beter woord. Here, as enigiets anders wat gebeur het, Here, dat ons heilige geslag, geesvervulde boere, lief is vir U, nie gedefinieer gaan word deur die verlede nie, Here. Nie gedefinieer gaan word deur die dinge, Vader, wat hulle gevange wil hou en wat mense teen hulle gebruik nie, in Jesus naam. Vader, dankie. Dankie vir die sendingspanne wat vanuit ons plase sal gaan, Here. Dankie, Here, vir die tuistes wat geskep gaan word en gebou gaan word. Dankie vir die werke, Here, wat geskep gaan word, Here, vir die armes in ons gemeenskap, Here. Dankie, Vader God, Here, vir die skole wat opgerig gaan word, Here, in Jesus naam. Dankie vir die klerefabrieke wat opgerig gaan word, Here, in die naam van Jesus, Here. Dankie vir jong mans en jong vrouens, Here, wie identiteit gaan vind op die plase, Here, waar mense boere gaan glo in hulle en destiny oor hulle gaan release, Here. Dankie ek voel selfs, Here, vir politici, Here. Manoshato khela maronto shikiara babanto shiatara bab. Politici, Here, wat vrygestel gaan word, Here, wat genesing gaan ontvang op die plase, Here, maar ook jong mans en vrouens, Here, wat op die plase opgerig gaan word, Here, om 'n verskil te maak in die politieke landskap van ons land, Here, in Jesus naam, Vader. Dankie. Rababoshita baba khontor, maar dankie, Here, ek voel dat die Here gaan mans en vrouens van bruin en swart gaan oprig op die plase wat 'n liefde gaan hê vir Afrikaans, wat 'n liefde gaan hê vir die boerdery gemeenskap en wat gaan stap soos 'n Josef gaan stap met 'n kapasiteit om verskillende kulture oor te steek. Maar dit gaan kom as gevolg van die feit dat daar boere gaan wees, they're going to be farmers, they're going to father them. Lord, so I just want to speak a fathering anointing, Lord, in Jesus name. Here, a fathering anointing, God, over our farmers, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I say to You, do not be afraid.
in the name of Jesus. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to be what God has called you to be, to reach out to whom you need to reach out, to embrace whom you need to embrace in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for prophetic obedience, prophetic significance. Dankie vir my wys, Here, dat hierdie Piketberg omgewing, Here, gaan wees soos 'n vuurkolom, Here. 'N vuurkolom, Here, wat U gaan gebruik om iets profeties staan te maak, Vader God, in ons land, Here. In Jesus' naam. The Lord says, even though the enemy would come against you like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard of godliness from amongst your midst, a standard of love that's going to burn so brightly that it will defy every prediction. It will defy the opinions of man. People will come from far and wide to see the miracles. The miracles. I see just the highways just filled up. I sense the Lord is saying there's going to be an increase, even an influx of visitors, tourists that will come and see what's happening here. And the Lord has given some of you dreams for business that you think is not going to happen here. And the Lord says, put your things in place. Because He's busy moving and shaping things. There's going to come an increase in the economic life of Piketberg. Father, we receive that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for stirring the wealth of provision in this place, God. In Jesus' name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I feel like the Here say, for ons wat nie wit Afrikaans sprekend is, the Here say dat hy sit in julle monde, a profetiese roeping om genesing te spreek, profetiese roeping om vergifnis te spreek, profetiese roeping om brug te bou in die gees, waar die Here julle oprig om is raising up as armor bearers. It's going to go against your natural grain. Dit gaan vir jou half gaan teen waar jy gewoond is. Maar die Here sê is intercessors wat die Here opgerig het to pray for the farms, to pray prophetically and to defend in the spirit the integrity of your white brothers and sisters. And not to side with the accuser. Just since the Lord is laying this on my heart, and it says He's not called you, any one of us, to side with the accuser of the brethren. And He's raising up in this family. I sense Anton Lord is saying He's making this family like a shield-bearing family. This church, I just see the shield over this family. But this shield is made up of a lot of small shields that are locked together. Locked together. It's extended not just over this congregation, but it's extended over this entire valley. Over this town, but over the valley, and extends over these mountains, a shield of love, a shield of forgiveness. Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, that we can receive that word this morning in Jesus' name. And Lord, that as Heinrich has said, lay down all visions that's not from you, all prophetic words that's not from you, Father. We lay them down this morning in Jesus' name. And we say, your vision, your plan for each of our lives, Father, that will be developed, that will be our focus for the future. And Father, we won't fear anything that might come our way, but we will walk through it and keep our eyes focused on you. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ek weet die tyd is ver oor, maar tyd is nie vir my 'n faktor nie. Julle, as die Here beweeg, is tyd nie 'n faktor nie. Ek gaan vir Kokkie gou vra. In kort gaan hy net iets sê oor wat vanoggend gesê is in sy lewe. Kort getuienis wil hy net gee en dan sal ons afsluit.
Ja, ek wil net sê, wat, ek denk daar is twee groepe mense vanoggend. Een wat jy lewe die lewe, of die ander groep die lewe leef vir jou. En ek was op 'n plek waar die lewe vir my geleef het. En ek was net laasweek moeg. Ek was geestelik moeg, ek was emosioneel moeg, ek was fisies moeg. En ek het letterlik begin dink, ek sê, Here, ek wil nie meer lewe nie, want die druk en die constante druk en verantwoordelikheid is just too much. En as Heinrich nou die woord van my moes gebring het, laas week gesê, ek kan eers my eie leven opnemen, want ons even een visie te. En dis wat ek nie veel bemoedig met die ochend. Ek was by Love and Power and Love Conference van Todd White. En ons het sekere sessies gehad waar hulle sê vir jou, jy moet Word of Knowledge oefen en dan gaan ons uit vir 2 ure en dan gaan bid ons vir die mense in healing en dan gaan ons uit en dan gaan bid ons vir die mense. En toe gas het in die begin, Here, maar my hart is leeg en dood, ek het niks om te gee nie. Want jy opraat van ander mense te gaan bid. Maar wat ek vanoggend vir julle wil sê is, my heart changed so much, because as I went out and started giving, and I started blessing other people, God came to do something in me. And I just want to, ek wil net vir julle sê, miskien weet jy nie vanoggend waar om te begin nie. Jy het ook jy so visie nie, jou hart voel dood. Maar ek weet, daar is iemand wat jy weet wat gebed nodig het. Begin daar. And it's more blessed to give than receive. En daai, wat jy vir ander mense gaan begin iets begin beteken, gaan die Here in jou hart begin iets verander. En ek dink is die Lia wat bid het vir reën, en tot hy vir Gehasie gestief, en sy kyk op haar wolke kom. En toe sê, maar ek sien een wolk so groot as 'n hand. En miskien het jy nie vanoggend die hele prentjie van jou visie nie. But even if you just see a small cloud, the biggest hand. Die Here sê, soos jy gaan, sal hierdie dinge jou volg. Tekens en wonders. Sieke sal gesond word. Duivel sal uitgedrywe word. And I'm going to be working with you. So ek wil net maar net vir die harte wat vanoggend gevoel het, hierdie woord is nie vir my nie, want ek is ook nie op 'n plek wat ek het kan... Ek het nie als antwoord van my eie leven nie. Hoe kan ek een visie? Just start. Begin het. Die Here het iets in jou gesit. En soos jy begin, gaan die Here dit just increase and multiply. En ek wil nou eigenlijk my naam gat maak, want in my gees voel ek soos... na die naweek net, want die ding wat ek geleer het is... We have been baptized with the Holy Spirit of fire. And no evil can stand against us. No demonic forces. We have all authority. We can speak healing over people. They will be healed. They will be delivered. Maar ons moet kom tot in hy geloof het. Ons weer vertrou dat die geest van God oor ons gekom het. En ons in hy krag gestap. En ons oor wegdryf van onsself op Jesus het.
Amen.
Lyk my is die nuwe kokkie in die huis. Hy het 'n gedaanteverwisseling ondergaan. Ondergaan. Mense, as daar mense nood... Excuse? Oké, okay, die glasies. Ja, wil jy sê, hy gaan daar voor staan met die glasies, of hier achter, jy kan my nie daar by hom insit na die tyd. As daar mense is wat gebed wil, ons is hier voor, na die tyd, om vir julle te bid. Ek gaan net afsluit met 'n gebed. Vader, ons sê vir u dankie, vir u goedheid, vir u getrouheid, Here. Here, dat u ons nie los waar ons is nie. Maar Here, dat U ons ontmoet op die plek waar ons is en ons handvat en met ons op pad stap. And Father, I pray that You will protect us this week. I pray, Lord, that You will protect Heinrich and the guys going back to Somerset West. We pray that You will protect their vehicles. En Vader, soos wat ons ook van die gemeente afry, van die kerk afry, na ons huise toe, beskerm ons in Jesus naam. En Here, laat ons uitleef dit wat vanoggend in ons gees gesit is, Here, dat ons dit gaan uitleef gedurende hierdie week in Jesus naam.